This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahda. Wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب وله وقال تعالى فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, you and I, we live in this material world. In this material world that you and I live in presents us with some dilemmas, some challenges. And what are the challenges? I will relate them and perhaps look at the solution with regard to those challenges and those dilemmas. The first challenge, let me explain, that we live in this world, we have heard our ulama, we have also heard the Quranic verses, which tells us about this material world being amusement and play. Anyone who reads the Quran will come upon verses of the Quran which tells us, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبُ وَلَهُ. This material world is amusement and play. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Luqman, don't let this material world deceive you. So many times we have heard ulama, we have heard religious scholars warning us about the deceitful nature of this material world. Yet at the same time, let us all admit, we all enjoy the ni'mats of this material world. We enjoy the pleasures of this material world. And no one can say he doesn't enjoy the beautiful aspects and the attractions of this material world. And to a certain extent, Allah has kept it within us that we love certain things of this material world. Allah Ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِرِ الْمُقَنْتَرَةِ. Allah has adorned certain of these beautiful things of this material world that you love. We love the wealth. There are other things that we in this world, Allah Ta'ala had said, he has made it appealing. So Allah has made mention with regard to this. Allah has also told us, لَا تُحَرِّمُوا طَيِّبَاتِ. The material world and the attractions which are halal, don't make it haram. لا تحرموا طيبات. Don't make haram طيبات, the wholesome attractions and the wholesome beauties of the holy of the material world. So now, how do we find the balance between the two? One is, we are living in this world. We cannot live in this world and deny the reality of us being in this world. And Allah Ta'ala has also kept within us the love of certain things of this material world. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran, for example, tells us, وَأَمْوَالُكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. Allah has made the world, the material world, mal. Mal, of course, means the material world, the wealth. Allah has made it a means of existence for you, without which it becomes difficult for you to live in this world. So we cannot deny the reality. We are in this world, and Allah Ta'ala has not made mention that we are supposed to stay away from this world, the attractions of this world, the responsibilities of this material world. Allah has not told us to stay away from it. What Allah Ta'ala has told us is that we must not deny the reality, but we must not give it primacy, and we must not give it priority over more important aspects of life. Now look at this beautiful verse in the Holy Quran. قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَأَشِيرَتُكُمْ. Tell unto the people, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, all these particular attractions and things that we find appealing in this world, your children, your parents, your extended family, وَأَمْوَالٌ اِكْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا, the wealth that you accumulate, وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا, the businesses. Now what is the greatest fear with regard to any businessman? That there must not be a loss and there must not be a downscale in my profits. Right? So Allah Ta'ala says, the businesses that you fear loss in, وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْدَوْنَهَا, the homes that you live in, And sometimes we spend great amount of time in our homes to be able to make it, beautiful for us to love. وَمَسَاجِدْ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Now look at the words and I ask you to think about these words. Is it more beloved to you than Allah and His Rasul and striving in the path of Allah? Now why did Allah Ta'ala use the word أَحَبَّ, more beloved? That means it is beloved. No one can tell me the house that you are living in is not beloved to you. No one can tell you that the wealth that you have is not... If you don't have love for it, you are not going to preserve it. You are not going to look after it. So Allah didn't say it is not beloved. Allah Ta'ala says it must not be more beloved to you than Allah and His Rasul. And not more beloved to you than striving in the path of Almighty Allah and striving for deen. Now that gives us some form of balance with regard to this particular aspect. Now let me give you the two aspects, the apprehension and the opportunities. And in every particular aspect, even in deen, Allah Ta'ala has told us, for example, there's a hadith of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Al-Imanu Bayn Al-Khawfi Wal-Raja. Iman is between fear and hope. So one is you fear Allah Ta'ala with regard to your sins and your shortcomings, but you also have hope in the mercy of Allah. In a similar matter with regard to this material world, there are apprehensions and there are potentials. There is apprehension. Now what do you do with any particular, you know, you always look at any business in leadership courses, they always tell you with regard to, you know, fulfill your potentials and keep away from the apprehensions. All the things that are of danger, you keep away from it and you try to fulfill the potentials. Now the first thing is, let us look at the apprehension. In every book of hadith, and the books of hadith is the one that we preserve the teachings of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the sayings of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In every book of hadith, there is a chapter known as Kitabur Riqaq. Riqaq means soft-heartedness. And in this chapter, you only find a hadith in which Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sayings are there with regard to the temporary nature of this world. Do not make this material world the be-all and end-all of your existence. Do not make it the sole reason for your living. Do not make all your happiness and sadness only surround this material world. And also tells you that there is a world after this world which is more just, more evolved, more permanent than the world that you are living in. And success is not what you do in this 50, 60, 70, 80 years of your life, but real success is where a person gains success in the everlasting world of the year after. So Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made mention of a verse which Allah has given a very unique definition of success. فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَا عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. He who saves himself through the means of his amal from Jahannam and gain entry into Jannah by his amal and the grace of Allah Ta'ala, and the grace of Allah Ta'ala is earned by your amal as-saliha, your good deeds, فَقَدْ فَازَ, he is successful. Today you and I, what is our definition of success? Our definition of a success, a person has got a beautiful car, a beautiful home, he's got a good standard of living, that is success. But look at this definition of success. He who has made himself worthy of entry into Jannah and saved himself from Jahannam, فَقَدْ فَازَ, he is successful. So this is what Allah Ta'ala, therefore in the world, the apprehension. The first thing that we learn from the Quran and Hadith is the material world in itself, and I'm using this word very deliberately, the material world in itself does not have any value in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. It only becomes valuable if you use the material world, the talent that you've got in this world, your health, your wealth, for the sake of higher objectives. But in itself, it has got no value in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, if this material world had any value in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala would not have given a glass of water to a disbeliever to drink. But it doesn't have value in the eyes of Allah. Now look at this verse in the Holy Quran. Once again, I appeal to you for your consideration and your understanding. How Allah puts things forward for us to understand. وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. Had it not been for this fear, that everyone would have been on one path, on one ummah, one teachings. لَجَعَلْنَا, I would have made, says Allah, لِمَن يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ, for the one who denies Allah, لبيوتهم. I would have given him such a home. سقف من فضة. The staircase of that home would have been made of silver. ومعارج عليها يزهرون وزخرفة. The staircases would have been made of silver. Now, alhamdulillah, you have got beautiful homes in the surroundings, but I don't think anyone's staircase is made of silver. Right? With all the beautiful homes you get, Allah Ta'ala says, I would have given it freely. To who would I have given it to? To those who deny Allah Ta'ala. Why didn't I give it? You know why I didn't give it? For the sake of that palatial homes, people would have sold and compromised their religion. They would have queued up to deny Allah Ta'ala to get this wealth. Now that is the value of wealth. That had it not been for the fear that people would have lost their deed, I would have given them wealth freely. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of it in the Holy Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنْ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ لَمَّا مَتَعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And at the end of this world, it's only commodities of this material world. It is not the criteria for success, and it is not the criteria that you have earned much, or you have become very great by you having some of these palatial homes, anything. So understand how Allah Ta'ala had put it. The material world in itself, it is worthless in the eyes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make this dua, اللَّهُمَّ لَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا. Oh Allah, do not make this material world the highest of our aspirations. And this is something said, we have to, each and everyone has to actually examine ourselves. Is that what we are making? But that is something that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought Allah's protection from. وَلَا غَيَةَ رَغْبَتِنَا. The be all and the end all of our desires. وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا. The reason why we gain knowledge. Ask today a person when he goes into the university, why are you choosing this course? Why are you choosing this career? It gives me a lot of money. There is great potential of earning money. I mean, is that why you earn knowledge? To gain wealth? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought Allah's protection from earning knowledge for the sake of material wealth. We learn to serve, we don't learn to earn. Allah Ta'ala can give rizq whether you have a degree or not. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't depend upon your degree to give you rizq. There are certain people who have not got any degrees, but Allah Ta'ala has given the great amount of wealth. So Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sought Allah's protection. And not only did he do so in terms of his dua, he demonstrated it. You all know the famous incident. Umar radiallahu anhu one day came to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's room, and when he saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sparse furniture and possession, he started crying. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar, why are you crying? Why are you weeping? Ya Rasulullah, why shouldn't I cry? When I look at the Roman and Persian Empire, they have such great amount of wealth, palatial homes. Here is my Nabi. I see there is nothing in this room. He's only got one mat. The imprint of that mat is embodied on the body of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, why shouldn't I cry? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he was sitting down. He got up and he hit Umar in the chest. And he said, Umar, are you in doubt with regard to this? For this, for them is this material world. For us is in the hereafter. Does anyone think like that? That listen, this is not the criteria for success. That is why Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu cried when he saw great amount of wealth coming in after the conquest the Muslims gained in his time. So someone, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, said, oh Umar, the people of Medina are happy and you are crying. He said, Abdul Rahman, I know. Look what a reply he gave. He said, I know Allah has made these things appealing. I'm not saying that it is not appealing. I'm not saying that it is not attractive. I am just crying because whenever this wealth comes, it brings in its wake fitna. Whenever this wealth comes, it brings in its wake fitna and corruption. And there are more sins that are committed because of sins and what because of wealth than what is committed because of poverty. Therefore, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, I don't fear poverty for my ummah. I fear that Allah Ta'ala will make this ummah wealthy. And they will be destroyed because of the wealth, the way they were destroyed by the people, like the way they were, the way the people of the path were destroyed. So look at the beautiful way that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us with regard to it. So Umar radiallahu anhu cried. Now I can go on making mention with regard to those particular aspects, the apprehension. And we have to be careful that we don't make this material world the be all and the end all of all our, you know, desires, objectives, you know. Sitaro se aage aur jahan bhi hai. There's another dimension. There's another world that we have to worry about. Today we have made everything about this world. They said one day a person was sitting, you know, in a masjid. Now today they say that the imams must look after the mental condition of the musallis. You know, I did a presentation recently of the evolving role of an imam. Right now, I'm 40 years as an imam, so I had some modem of authority to speak. So I said today, the imam is not only to read salat, he's supposed to look after the mental condition, he's supposed to give counseling to the youth, you know, look at the people. So one day, the imam saw a musalli very, very, you know, despondent. Why are you despondent? What's happening to you? He said, you know, what actually happened was that about 5-10 years back, you know, nowadays everyone is selling their zameen and their property in India. So my grandfather passed away, and because of his passing away, he had some land in India. That land was sold, and my family got a whole big amount, and we got a couple of millions from that particular land. Okay. So then why are you despondent? He said that 5 years ago or 6 years ago, my maternal grandfather, his family, they sold their land, and I got a couple of millions from there. So he said, why are you despondent? He said, the last 2 years, no one passed away. So now we just made it around that particular thing. So that is the one aspect, the apprehension with regard to this material world. And have a proper perspective with regard to it. Now let us look at the positive. And many times people don't talk about the positive. Brothers, there's so much potential in this material world for us to do good. Every good that comes, every positive will come from this material world. Ni'mal malu salih li rajuli salih. Very good is wealth in the hands of a pious person. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, he said, "Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah." This dunya is a sowing ground for the year after. Now many a times people feel we'll gain Jannah after we pass away. You don't gain Jannah after you pass away. You gain Jannah by how you are leading your life in this material world. This material world becomes the means of your Jannah. After you pass away, you can't even make one good deed. After you passed away, your good deeds are closed. You can't do any good deed. Unless you did something, that the benefit will still accrue after you have passed on. But you can only do good deeds while you are alive. This dunya is the sowing ground for the year after. Many times people go and travel. We go to India, Pakistan. So sometimes you take a taxi and you tell the taxi, listen, I need to go to the airport, but on the way I have to collect this, this, and this, and this. So sometimes they tell you, buy meter chalu hai. The meter of the taxi is running. You can go and stop there, the meter will continue running. Since the time we are baligh and we are responsible for our deeds, the meter of Jannat and Jahannam is running. It's up to you now what you want to do with this particular meter. Jannat is not going to be earned after you passed away. Jannat is going to be earned from this particular material world. How you use it positively, that is how you're going to use this material world. That is why Allah Ta'ala speaks so highly about giving wealth in the path of Almighty Allah. مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة. He who gives 1 cent in charity, Allah multiplies it at least 700 times. والله يضاعف لمن يشاء. If Allah Ta'ala wants, He could give it even more than that. How did Abdul Rahman ibn Auf come amongst Ashra'i Mubashara? When he had so much wealth, that more wealth than anyone even today presently, Muslim or non-Muslim. There was a survey done with regard to the wealth of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. It was found that he was 7 times more wealthier than the wealthiest person today on earth. He had 7 times more wealth than Bill Gates, just to give you a perspective. But he was Abdul Rahman fil Jannah. So what? He used his wealth to do what? To gain Jannah. Now that becomes a positive aspect with regard to this material world. We all heard throughout history that traders went to Indonesia. Now today many a times people say Islam was spread by the sword. I ask you the question, how can it be possible that Indonesia is the greatest amount of Muslims in one single country? Of course now we have countries. Previously we didn't have countries. The single greatest amount and population of Muslims in any country is Indonesia. Indonesia was not conquered by the sword. There is no recorded history where a Muslim army went to Indonesia. How do they have over 200, 300 million Muslims? They went there because traders went there. They traded with integrity. They traded with honesty. The people came so beloved to, they loved them so much because of their honesty and integrity, the way they traded. And they became Muslims because of the honesty of the Muslim trader. Does a Muslim trader ever think that I can use my trade, I can use my wealth to make people Muslims? by my positivity, by my honesty, by my integrity. Does anyone think like that? Or does he only look at the, you know, at the end of the day to see what is the profit that I have made from my business? Look at our history. I believe that there are many people who are here who are professionals, might be accountants, might be lawyers. Look at our history. You will find that Muslim professionals, they were in the forefront with regard to profession, with regard to all of academic excellence. Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi was the first person in the human history to make an experiment where is the best place to make a hospital. He made an experiment and he said, this is the place where we are supposed to make a hospital. Ibn Khaldun rahmatullahi alayhi was one of the first sociologists. He wrote 17 volumes on human society and civilizations, the rise and fall and decline of nations. He wrote Kitabul Ibar, 17 volumes on the rise and fall of nations. Sociologist par excellence, Arnold Toynbee, the British historian, said, Ibn Khaldun, rahmatullah alayh, his works and his Kitabul Ibar is the best work of its kind by any human being in any era. Now, just to give an example, what Ibn Khaldun, rahmatullah alayh, how he studied society. So Ibn Khaldun, rahmatullah alayh, has written that any person, any nation that gets freedom, it has to contend and he has to fight two challenges. One is its inherent inferiority complex, which has come because of oppression over the years, because of slavery or because of oppression. And one, it is newfound opulence and wealth. Look at what is happening in South Africa. The ANC have been a failure with regard to these two type of challenges with regard to coming out of oppression, which Ibn Khaldun rahmatullah alayh identified many years ago as a sociologist understanding society. Ibn Khaldun rahmatullah alayh has made mention. And I can go on and making mention with regard to it. I can just go on, I'll just give an example. Haythami in optics, the first person to do a cataract operation. You know, Masoudi in geography. Idrisi in geography, Masoudi in environment. Today people talk about environmental affairs. The first person to write a detailed explanation with regard to the environment was Ibn Masoudi. You know, Idrisi was the first person. He was commissioned by the ruler of Sicily in Italy to do a world map. And Idrisi made the first world map. And even today it is preserved. And we can go on making mention. Now they didn't do all of this only for the sake of worldly gain. They did it with an intention. They did it with an intention to benefit the community, benefit humanity, and benefit the ummah. The ummah benefited because of this. The ummah benefited because of this. The Muslims were in the forefront of everything. Today, for the past 2-3 centuries, we have not progressed. We have declined. And no one can tell me that let the other people go and do the technology, we will benefit from it. You become prejudiced. The ummah becomes prejudiced. Look at what happened in Lebanon. The technology that we take for granted, that each and every one of us got in his pocket, it is by who? It is done by someone else. The day they want to pull the plug against it, what did they do? It actually blew up in your own pockets. So where is your technology? Why can you do it as a Muslim ummah? We've got 2 billion people in this world. Why can't we do it? We are dependent upon someone else, and look at the results with regard to what has happened. This is just a small example. Even worse can follow because we have not been able to keep up with the progress. We have not been able to keep up with technology. When Muslims were in the first one, we talk about many other aspects. So all I can say is this world has got its apprehension. But together with its apprehension, it got its potential. It is for us to stay away from the apprehension and for us to fulfill its potential. May Allah give us the tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.